We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I have never barked at anybody from my car. I will say that. I have thrown some rooster calls out of the window, though. That's a fair accusal. from the rejoin there. These are the people who bark out of their cars, is what the rejoin just said. Were you not listening to your show, Diesel?
These people who barbecue.
I thought you said bark out of their
cars. No, barbecue out of their cars.
Hey, look, I was the one that wasn't listening. Or I was listening. It just sounded
like
you
said
bark.
What is a rooster call?
I was like, I don't bark. I've never barked. I do barbecue behind my car. I don't know if I've ever barbecued out of my car.
I guess it's the idea of, you know, if you're tailgating and inclement weather strikes, then you have to set up the grill in the back of your Ford Explorer.
And then your car burns down.
Yeah, it's usually not a good thing.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. What's also a bad idea is paying average players max salaries in the NBA. And what it's doing to the NBA is making it impossible for small markets to catch back up. You're not going to see a Charlotte get any kind of major free agents when Tobias Harris is getting 5 years and $180 million from the Philadelphia 76ers. Or when Ben Simmons, who, yes, he has a high ceiling, yes, he's talented, yes, he's a good basketball player, he shoots less than 20% of his jumpers. He makes less than 20% of his jumpers. That's how bad he is as a shooter. And he gets a five-year, $170 million extension. When teams like Charlotte have to hope and pray that Kemba Walker, who's very good, not a superstar, but very good, has to take a discount to stay, when you know full well he's never going to take a discount to stay, when Boston's calling with an almost ready-made contender and a lot more money, he's gone. Charlotte and other markets like it, and even Orlando has kind of found their way into the playoff mix again, but they were there with Charlotte fighting for that eighth seed, so they're not all the way in, really. And they've had to deal with that. I've watched this for the last 6 years when I used to work down there. Sacramento is the team that I've been cheering for since I was 11 years old. They're dealing with it. 17 years, I think. No, 13 years into the rebuild. I was over-exaggerating a little bit. 13 years of a rebuild. But you can't bring major superstars to these markets because you don't have the money when the salary cap keeps going up and up and up.
Well, to quote Judge Smales, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
The world does.
Every league needs bad teams. You need them because they are the punching bags. If we somehow expect every year that the Warriors are going to go out and win, what did they win in their record-breaking season, 70 games? If we expect a team to be able to go out there and win 70 games, they got to be beating up on somebody.
True.
Because if there's true parity in a league, then everybody's 500, and that's dull.
Yeah.
That's dull to watch. Or at least we've been taught that it's dull to watch, because we have now been taught that we have to have the dynasty that goes 15-0, that goes, you know, 16-0 in the regular season, that wins 72 games. Mm-hmm. If we don't have that, we've been taught that it's boring.
Yeah.
You know?
And what sucks, though, is that they give you the illusion of parity. They keep talking about it this offseason, how, oh, the big threes have devolved into a dynamic duos, and there's more spread out talent, and there's going to be more good teams. It's still the same teams. The same teams were still in the mix, as have been in the mix almost every year, especially in the last 20 years, because you have seen a Clippers team who were never in the mix become a team that's been in the mix, you know, over the last decade or two, when they started winning and then they get Doc Rivers, and now they're, you know, a team that can kind of bring people to LA. And it's the same teams. And really, you've seen a return to earth for a team that's been dominant the last 5 years with the Golden State Warriors, because their biggest name left. They're stuck with, a still good team, and they won a championship with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Green, but you got Klay Thompson out for the majority, if not all, of this season, and it's just Steph and Green. And so that team's not pulling in any big names. They didn't bring in Durant back. They weren't able to get Kawhi Leonard. They weren't able to go after any of those guys because that's still not really a big market. That's one of the fewer teams, and that's what's upsetting about this illusion of parity and this pricing out of the small markets, is that it started to look like there was chances. Because, yeah, okay, Cleveland had LeBron, but they're still Cleveland, and they've never been good in the league. They're winning championship. Golden State had a flare of greatness in the 70s, never were competitive after that, winning championships. Toronto, winning a championship. So you start thinking when you're Orlando, Charlotte, Sacramento, oh, okay, maybe we can get back in this mix if we get lucky. Maybe we can finally get a superstar to come play for us if we draft right. There's nobody thinking about going to those markets. Because right now, as you said last segment, they own the league. The players are in control of what's happening, free agency-wise especially, in this league, and they will get the money they want no matter what. And you can't pay them if you're a Charlotte. You don't have it. And I have to take my comeuppance because I have to apologize to Michael Jordan, because I wrote a blog a couple weeks ago saying that people need to start coming after this guy. Because, yeah, he's the greatest of all time as player, but he has been garbage since he's taken over as the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets. Well, maybe I'm wrong, because there's nothing he can do when Kemba is going for 4 years, $40 million, $140 million, because they can't afford that. And you're not going to attract anybody for less than that anymore in the NBA with the players having this much control. I mean, you have to sign a guy and then trade all of your draft picks for the guy he wants to play with, even to get him to LA to play for the Clippers, when supposedly leading to the end of the season, that was the front runner.
So really what you're trying to say is that these small market teams are developmental teams for the big franchises.
Yeah, and that's
the
bad.
The ones who have the money.
That's now, not good.
Now, let me ask you this. And this is me pleading ignorance of a situation here. Is Charlotte fully funded to the salary cap? Can they afford to pay all the way up to the salary cap?
I mean, I think they can, but I don't think they have the room because they've had bad contracts that they've eaten with different moves that, you know, it's just they're stuck in this place where their cap room is low. And it's not because they have anybody good. Like, they have some okay guys. They have a team that's in the mix to get into the eighth seed almost every single year.
So is there another league system that the NBA could implement to increase that sort of parity? Is it lowering the salary cap? Again, we talked about this off the air. Sure, there will be players who are willing to take less than max and super max and super duper double duper max, whatever. There's like 19 different salary caps within the NBA. There's this, you can defer it, you can do all these sorts of things. So a salary cap essentially is a suggestion, is the way I understand it. Yeah. It's really a suggestion of this is how much you should be paying your players. There are ways to defer it and hide it in other ways, but sure, there will be players who are willing to take less money to go team up with other players, and that's fine. There's nothing that a team or an NBA salary cap can do about it other than block the trade, and especially in a league where you've given the players the power, you can't tell these players, no, you can't go to this team. But there will be more than their fair share of superstars who want to get paid. They're going to go somewhere because they can get paid, not because they want to win championships. They may or may not even care about that at this point in their careers.
Yeah, and that's the issue, too. I think it's kind of hurting the league, in my opinion, because I don't like that it just comes to a part. We get so excited for free agency because we're going to see all these big names change cities this year. But there's no excitement outside of the main grouping of teams still. You're not waking up on the first day of free agency saying, ooh, who are the Hornets going to pick up? And they got Scary Terry. Okay, he's a possibly good player, but the guy has like a 7 point per game average right now, and his claim to fame is that the Celtics made it further with him than they did with Kyrie. Not necessarily because of him. They just made it further with him than they did Kyrie. But that's not somebody who's going to sell tickets, who's going to bring in bodies to seats. It's not going to happen. And you're seeing teams on the bottom half just become apathetic, their fan bases. And I went through it in Orlando for those years I was down there. They become apathetic because there's no hope to bring in any big name. And I don't think that's good for the league, and especially a league that's getting some traction again, that's bouncing back from kind of falling away over the last 20 years. After MJ, there was that period of time where just kind of was dull and kind of limping through, and you had Shaq and Kobe, but people were getting sick of seeing LA. So it kind of was losing ground, and they're starting to get that momentum. They've been great for the last handful of years. I think the product's been better over the last handful of years. And because of that, I think it kills you to have such bad teams and have no hope for those teams to come back. The parity that you talk about is bad. Everybody being good is bad. But parity in the sense that teams can move up and not have to be stuck where they are. Charlotte has been a perennial 8th seed, 9th seed. Every year they're either right in or right out. They are the definition of mediocre. And there's no hope to go up. The only thing you could think is they could tank and hopefully get big draft picks, but how often has that really worked? Because Philly's the only team that's put together a good team with it, and they still don't have a championship.
And there's no guarantee that you'll get the draft position that you want.
Yeah, you could, my Kings, the Magic, they had the worst records in the NBA a couple of times in the last 8 years, never got a number one pick. So it's not helping you to tank. Tanking does nothing in the NBA, and I think that's been proven at this point.
And I think you're going to have some GMs now kind of weighing their option. Is it worth it to tank for the diminished chance of getting the best players in the draft?
And I think they should change the draft because of that. I think that like the first team out should get the first pick, and then you go down from that team to the worst team and then up the playoff list. Because the first team out is the team that needs that one guy to change things. The first team out of the playoffs was trying to win. The team at the bottom wasn't. They quit probably by Christmas and were just hoping to get the most ping pong balls in the lottery and maybe sneak a top three pick. And maybe this year we have at least three good players. A lot of times you got one or two. So it's such a just endless cycle of watching bad teams stay bad that that's what I think hurts the NBA more than anything else, is that these small markets have just been priced out of any chances of recovering. Again, the Kings are on 13 years of a rebuild, and they've had top 10 picks, like a lot. You could put together a all-star team of guys who have left Sacramento or Orlando or Charlotte, and it's bad. That's bad for business, and it's bad to have markets lose all hope, because that's when you start losing money, and that's when you start have to think about what we've seen in the past, moving teams, finding better markets. Right now, there's talk of moving another team to Seattle to bring them back a team when they had stopped supporting their team 15 years ago. So it's back and forth and back and forth. And if you give them the Thunder, say you move the Thunder back right now to Seattle, they're not going to be great, because they're probably going to trade Chris Paul off now and have really nothing. And that's back into a rebuild. Are you really going to excite Seattle and get them back in the stands?
With a rebuild.
Yeah, and then you have to hope your rebuild goes right and that you can get a superstar when all these superstars are now locked up. So it's just such a bad situation, in my opinion, that we're watching a predestined thing. We know what 8 teams on either side, for the most part, are going to be in the playoffs, and that maybe 4 or 5 on each side are good enough to maybe make the finals, maybe 3 or 4 on the East. And I think that's really bad for business as far as hoping to get more and more fans as they're trying to grow themselves, because in popularity, they're still below baseball overall. It's still the NFL, MLB, and then the NBA as far as our major sports leagues. They're trying to catch the MLB first. And to catch the MLB, you got to make sure you got all your markets interested. Because even bad markets have decent television ratings for the most part in MLB. Maybe not attendance, but there's just a lot of games. But television is not bad. The Rays have great television, no fans in the stands. The Marlins really have a good television audience as well. Nobody goes, and the team's bad. But at least they're getting viewers. Nobody that I know is going out of their way to watch the Charlotte Hornets. Nobody.
I can confirm that.
Yeah, nobody. I haven't gone to a bar in basketball season and seen a Hornets game on in the 3 years I've been back. You see, you know, if LeBron's playing or if the Celtics or anybody else is playing, those games are on. Never see the Charlotte Hornets on the TV. But we're going to get to a different local team now. Your Atlanta Braves still atop the National League East, closing in on the Dodgers for the top spot in the NL. Can they sustain these winning ways into October and unseat the boys in blue? We're going to ask Corey McCartney of Fox Sports South that and more next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's get right to the hotline and welcome in Corey McCartney of Fox Sports South, co-host of ChopCast Live, the best podcast for Braves fans. Follow him on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney for all things Atlanta Braves. Corey, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, you got it. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you very much. Well, since the end of the 2017 season, we've kind of seen a steady improvement of the Atlanta Braves making the playoffs last year and now seemingly running away with the NL East in 2019. How impressed have you been with how this Atlanta front office has rebuilt the club?
You know, I mean, you think you go back to the deals when it started at all, you know, with Jason Hayward getting dealt to the Cardinals, Shelby Miller coming in. And from that point on, just the way things have progressed, obviously getting Dansby Swanson, rebuilding that farm system, drafting guys like Mike Soroka and Austin Riley. And now, you know, bringing in the likes of Donaldson and Keuchel, and, you know, they've built it back from a team that, you know, was in a contention window and surprisingly stopped it and has rebuilt this thing to not only be a contender now, but seemingly be sustainable with so much young talent still in the system. It's incredibly impressive.
And some people talk about how they're ahead of schedule in Atlanta, but what we've seen over the past 2 years or so, is it really that surprising to see this team playing as good as they are today?
You know, I think it's ahead of schedule if you don't think about baseball in terms of the way it's been played in the last 5 or 6 years. When you think about the amount of young players, and we're seeing more young guys ages 22 and younger making major contributions across baseball than at any point. And I think the Braves have caught up to that with guys like, you know, as I mentioned, Soroka, but Acuna, Albies, you know, Swanson. They've built their own version of what's baseball in this era. The product that got the Astros a world championship and the Cubs, and the Braves have gotten hip to that. And it took them a little while to get with that. And, you know, certainly they've built this thing up their own way through their system and a couple of key traits. But I think they just really caught up with what baseball is in this era.
Talking Braves with Corey McCartney of Fox Sports South here on ESPN Upstate. All right, the bullpen, the pitching staff has been really the topic of conversation when it comes to concerns when looking at what this team can accomplish. But even with that bullpen issue, the Braves haven't lost a series since the beginning of June and obviously are winning 5 straight heading into now. How much do you expect the bullpen to actually plague this team, or can they improve it and really get over that hump and be that best contender?
You know, and I don't think it's the word bullpen. I think it's just one piece they're missing. Because if you look back to since Anthony Swarzak joined this team at the end of May, and, you know, they've had the best bullpen ERA in baseball. Actually, they have the best bullpen ERA in baseball for the entire season, but it's been dramatically so since Swarzak arrived. You know, they lead the National League in strikeouts in that span. So I think it's just they've had a strong bullpen. It's been cardiac at times. I think they just missed that really key closer. They have 14 blown saves on the season. Certainly Luke Jackson's been on the mound for 4 of those. And I think that's the piece they're missing. It's not necessarily that the bullpen's a problem. If they have some guys who are pitching out of their role, I think that's going to be the major focus, is can they get that impact closer and can they get a frontline starter? I think those are the two things that are, to me right now, are separating this team from really being that team that can push the Dodgers to the brink.
Well, what do you foresee and what are you hearing, I guess, as far as rumors and rumblings for trades that would involve a starter and a bullpen guy?
Sure, and there's teams that have both, right? I mean, you look at the Giants with Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith. You know, you look at the Blue Jays with Marcus Stroman and Ken Giles. I mean, the Indians with Brad Hand and Trevor Bauer. There's a number of teams that have that makeup that they could take, you know, both those pieces off the board. It's certainly just a matter of how high is the cost, because the one thing we know the Braves have, it's a surplus of young pitching. So I don't think they're going to want a deal from a position where they're lacking, which is, you know, young positional players. So I think if they can work something out where they can, you know, move some of that glutton of young pitching they have, I think maybe something can be worked out. It's just, I know that the Blue Jays have an extremely high asking price when Alex Anthopoulos comes calling from his past dealings there. The Giants are going to have a lot of suitors. You really want to take on a guy in Bumgarner who's a rental. and you're not getting any return on him. I think to me, Stroman and Giles would be really interesting because they both have a control beyond this year. It's just a matter of, again, how high is that prospect cost going to be? Because the Braves have a ton of prospects. They have a ton of guys that people are seeking. But what is the 10th best prospect to the Braves is something very different for another organization.
We're talking with Fox Sports South's Corey McCartney here on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate. We're talking about those prospects. If there's no trade available, if the cost is too high, do you see anything in the farm system that could give hope to the Braves fans out here that are worrying about the pitching staff, guys that maybe could come up and fill those roles?
Well, I tell you what, I think you have to look at the potential of a rejuvenated or a right like Fulton Evich rejoining this team, in August or September and basically being what you would get on the trade market. I mean, is there anybody that is a more consistently viable piece on the market than you can get than what you had in Fulton Evich last year when he was an all-star and he was your starter in the NLDS? So I think that's the major factor here is what version of Fulton Evich do you get when he comes back? If they don't think that he can return like that, then yeah, you probably need to go out and address something. But I think there's enough options in-house when you think about him and Tuki Toussaint, Bryce Wilson, who we'll see get a couple more starts this week, Kyle Wright, another guy that is a little bit lower. Had been a little bit lower on the prospect rankings, but is now in AAA, which is Patrick Weigel, a guy that can hit 100 on the radar. I think he could be a nice little addition as they make that push to the postseason as well.
And how important do you think it's been to see at least some improvement from some of the starters? I mean, you had some rough patches early on in the season for a lot of these guys, but this last week you've seen them really show up. Maybe Tehran not as much the other night out in San Diego, but really the bullpen kind of coughed that up late. What have you seen from these starters that at least have given you the hope that maybe they can still sustain this if they aren't able to make a move?
Well, Keuchel certainly gives you hope in itself. Mike Soroka is pitching his way into the NL Cy Young conversation. I'm a little bit concerned about Max Fried. We saw him get a blister again last night in Milwaukee. He's now on the 10-day DL. That was something that's hampered him in the past. We've seen some bright moments from Bryce Wilson, but I don't feel like the back end of the rotation is really solidified. I think you're going to see that be a little bit more of a fluid situation with so many arms. And you mentioned Tehran. He went through a really rough patch. The last three times out, he's actually been much more improved. Mm-hmm. I think it's still a little bit of inconsistency plaguing him a bit. So I think the back end of this thing doesn't feel quite so good as the front end of it. But once you get to the postseason, that's what matters is that top three guys. And I think they've got enough there to feel like they could roll with what they have in-house.
Corey, I want to change directions here for one second from kind of nuts and bolts, kind of steak and potatoes baseball talk to sort of the sizzle on the steak. You are involved with Chopcast Live, and Diddy is a big fan. I've caught it a handful of times. Tell the listener why they need to watch Chopcast Live. What makes that show so compelling and just so damn good?
Well, I appreciate it. I think for us, it's a matter of digging a little bit deeper than you get in a normal baseball broadcast. We're obviously fans of sabermetrics, and we try to, not necessarily explain to you why a guy is swinging the way he is or what's happening within a game, but why, the numbers say this is the way things are playing themselves out. So I think as we see more teams get involved in analytics and you hear so much more about that, in a broadcast, we're trying to just take a deeper step into that and help you to understand really, what a lot of front offices are using now for player evaluation, for helping teams, prepare for games, strategize. This is a lot of what's happening in the behind the scenes of baseball now, and we're trying to bring that a little bit more to the forefront.
All right, we're talking with Corey McCartney of Fox Sports South and the Chopcast Live here on ESPN Upstate. Before I let you go, obviously, we've both mentioned the needs for a starter and bullpen help to kind of solidify them as a legitimate threat to the Dodgers. But what's the ceiling you want to give this team as far as, what the fans should expect going forward? Should you expect to see a trade and this team be a team that can knock off the Dodgers? Or are we looking a little lower than that for this season?
I think they're going to make another move. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos is going to sit back and let this thing, and not make a major move. I think there's too many options. I don't necessarily think there's going to be that frontline starter, but I do think you want to make a move or to bolster that bullpen. Is it Will Smith, the Georgia kid, coming back? I think he could be really interesting, but I do think there's going to be something that happens still with the back end of that bullpen for sure.
He is Corey McCartney of Fox Sports South. Don't forget to check out Chopcast Live for all things Braves. Corey, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go from baseball back to football for you. because we got to talk some NFL. Carolina Panthers will be in Spartanburg soon, and Diesel and I are going to give you our expectations for the black and blue next on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't forget, you can chime in at any time on our topics of the day, 844-477-3776 on the phone. You can text us at 71307. Start the text with ESPN so we know it's you. Oh, I just lost that text. There it is. On the Kemba Walker topic, by the way, we got a text. Could have traded him if they were aware they could not afford him. Yeah, they could have. That is something you can get on Michael Jordan about in the front office of the Charlotte Hornets. Because if you knew there was no way he's taking a hometown discount, trade them. Get something. Get picks, at least. You know, try to get that salary cap lowered. Cap flexibility is your best friend in the NBA when you're not a good team. But moving on to our straight-up Diddy Takeover Twitter polls on the topic of the Braves, which we just finished talking to Corey McCartney about. Twitter poll number one, are the Braves a legitimate threat to the Dodgers in the NL? 74% say absolutely, and you're darn right. I love that thought process. Be confident, Braves fans. This team's legit. They're a good team, and they're going to make some fun baseball happen down the stretch. But right now, we want to talk Carolina Panthers, and poll number two is about that. What are your expectations for the Panthers in 2019? Your options were playoffs or bust, Super Bowl contenders, might sneak a wild card spot, or mediocre to bad season. Sadly, mediocre to bad season is winning the poll as of right now.
So, ooh, preseason, you know, when hope springs eternal and there's no hope.
No hope. No hope. Even though you're getting a healthy Cam Newton, supposedly.
Are we,
supposedly,
though?
Supposedly.
See, that to me, you asked me for my prediction for the Panthers for 2019, and
yeah,
it's hard to say. You really, it all depends on Cam Newton.
It
is
does.
Cam Newton actually back? Should they... should he even be going through training camp? Should they be resting him as much as they possibly can? They say he's okay.
They
say he's fine. But, man, it's going to be tough. I honestly think you don't play Cam Newton until halfway through the season because if he's ready, then awesome. Good for him. Then we're all proven wrong, and I will gladly eat that crow. But if we're all right and he is still not back to 100%, and you lose Cam Newton for even more time, and he's getting up there in his career at this point. You know, I remember being just absolutely blitzed on this show when I suggested about 8 months ago, is it time for the Panthers brass to start thinking about drafting Cam Newton's successor? I didn't say who should they draft this year to be a successor.
Well, if you remember just before that, I said they should trade him.
Right.
And people got real mad.
Yeah. And so it was like, all right, maybe next year, maybe the year after, because you can be selective at this point. Because let's face it, Will Greer is not going to be the quarterback of the future for the Carolina Panthers. He is a stopgap backup quarterback. That's really all he's going to be. But I was ripped for should they even think about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when, depending on if you love him or hate him, he's either the greatest quarterback there's ever been because he's fun and he's jovial. Yeah. And when he is fun and jovial, he is fantastic to watch. Yeah. But also, he's also a big old crybaby,
big
old whiner that really upsets a lot of people. So,
yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to is the happiness of Cam Newton. When we've seen Cam Newton dancing and happy and enjoying himself, the team looks unbeatable. And they went to the Super Bowl in a year in which he looked happy and he was enjoying himself. Since they lost that Super Bowl, I haven't seen him look happy on the football field, and they've been not very good ever since. And, I mean, you've seen them make moves. They bolster their defensive front. They bolster their offensive line. You know, they drafted Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago. He's a beast in the offseason, putting on all that muscle.
And you've also pretty much left him alone out there on an island by himself.
And you're looking like at least, you know, McCaffrey's building up enough mass to be able to block for Cam Newton. I wouldn't mind them maybe trying to make a move. If Melvin Gordon's so unhappy out in L.A. with the Chargers, maybe bring in a two-headed running back. Like, if you remember the years of greatness in the early 2000s, you had a bad quarterback in Jake Delhomme, a guy who was a cast-off from a bad Saints team, and you went to a Super Bowl because you had ridiculous running backs, a two-headed beast of a running back. Why not bring in another one with McCaffrey? And you have 2,000-yard rushers going forward. A lot of things can help Cam Newton. But so you're telling me, Diesel, that you don't have high expectations for 2019. Are you agreeing with our Twitter poll voters that it's mediocre to bad season for the Panthers?
Yes.
Oof.
I absolutely do. I think it's maybe a 7-win season.
Maybe a 7-win season, he says. Wow. So 7-9 was how they finished last year. You don't think any improvement was made coming into this season?
If I want to be hopeful, I'll give him 8.
Okay.
You know, and that's still not much.
Well, on my side, I feel personally the same way I've kind of felt about the Gamecocks as a fan the last handful of years. It's a cautious optimism. I'm cautiously optimistic about it. But I think there should be some high expectations. I think they should be held to some high expectations because I think this team has the potential to be a pretty decent threat to the Saints in the NFC South and be a playoff team. Maybe not a Super Bowl contender all the way, but if they start playing well, they could be. Because this defense, if they play well, could be very, very good. Bringing in McCoy is a huge get for this defense. If they stay healthy, if Kuechly stays healthy, all of these guys can stay healthy and on the field. You can see this defense take a huge step forward and be much better this year at pass rush and much better at stopping the pass, which seems to be what they've had as a bugaboo as of late. This team down the stretch, really last year, they only got blown out once. The only other lopsided game was week 17 when they were already out and they lost it. I think it was like 27-something to the Falcons. But the only time they got blown out was by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Down the stretch, they were losing all their games by less than one score. I think this team has gotten better, enough better, since last year to win some of those one-score games, including a game they lost at the Cleveland Browns. I think they can become a 10-plus win team this year as long as Cam Newton is happy. And you would think with Christian McCaffrey getting better, with signings of, say, a Chris Hogan to give him a bit of a deep threat, making that receiving core a little bit better, maybe you're getting the offensive line a little bit better. Hopefully that makes him happy. And if you can make him happy and he's healthy, I don't see why this team can't win 10 games or more and be a contender for the NFC South.
Yeah, but you did just throw out a lot of ifs.
Well, there's always a lot of ifs.
Because you know, in any situation, you need 80% of the ifs to go your way to see a marked improvement.
Yeah.
And that's asking a lot.
But in fairness,
especially when the ifs are around your biggest pieces.
If they stay healthy is really the if for every team in all
sports.
Well,
absolutely.
You know, so that's kind of the generic no matter what, as long as they're healthy.
It depends on the perspective of the if. If you are the New England Patriots, you can say, if we happen to have some substantial injuries, we may see a 3-game step back.
Yeah.
This is if we can keep everybody if we can keep people healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe we can pick up 2 more wins.
And I think that's where the improvements have been made. Improving this offensive line, making sure that you're getting a guy in Christian McCaffrey who's already showed himself to be a beast of a running back, building up a little bit of strength and mass on him to help him at least become as well as a good running back, also a good blocker in the passing game, which is something you have to make happen with a guy that's going to get outside the pocket. You need to have a running back who can get out and block for him because Cam Newton gets hurt too easily when he runs, and he's not going to stop playing football the way he plays football. So having a little protection there, I think they bolstered their team in the right way this offseason to give them a great chance. And I think because of that, obviously it could be your outlook. They could easily end up 7-9 again out of the playoffs. But I think the expectations we have to hold them to, the expectations we have to hold Cam Newton to if we want him to continue to be the quarterback of this franchise, the expectations we have to hold Ron Rivera to continue to keep his job as the head coach of this franchise, is that of a team that's getting back in the mix, that's at least a playoff team, and is fighting the Saints for a spot maybe at the top of this division.
I guess maybe in this situation you're much more of an optimist than I am. I am results driven. Show me results to change my perspective. You talked about players in the NBA making too much money based off potential, and that's a bad thing. Potential is a bad thing in that context. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, you say potential is a good thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. But it is. But I think it's a different world, though, because you're not going to see a guy at the level of a Tobias Harris in the NFL get the major contract. It's such a different cap. It's so much harder to finagle an entire roster under that cap because you don't have 10 guys. You got 54, 52. So you got so many more guys to pay. You have to make those things. And you do see in the NFL, which you don't see in the NBA, guys maybe take a contract, reformat their contract, take the money on the back end so that we have more cap space today, this year, to sign the team. Tom Brady does it. We've seen other guys do it as well. Peyton did it late in his career just to make sure they have the cap. That doesn't happen in the NBA because you're seeing guys like Tobias Harris get money like that. So everybody at that level of play wants money like that. And you're going to beg for it and not care where you have to go to get it. So it's kind of a different animal, I guess, in paying for the potential. But I think the potential they've paid for has been proven. I mean, McCoy's a guy who's proven he's one of the better line defensive players in the NFL. And bringing him into this mix with a defense that was already pretty good, just had a little bit of ups and downs last year, I think makes them way better. And again, the offensive line, bringing in Chris Hogan, I think is a bigger signing than people give it credit for. A deep threat on the offensive side of the ball that can actually catch a deep ball, unlike Ted Ginn. You know, a lot of things like that play into it. I just think the expectations have to be at that level because they've built up what we should expect from them, and they've missed that expectation for three straight years since losing the Super Bowl. That can't be allowed again this year. This is the season where they have to get up to that expectation level or everything's got to change. And again, I will say it and I'll stick by it. Trade Cam Newton if things go south because he's still considered a top flight quarterback in the league and you can still get a ton in return for him. And the rebuild is much faster when you get a return on your superstar.
I feel like you and Josh Phillips should sit down and have a powwow and chat about telling a team they should trade their biggest asset because I don't know if you recall, about 3 years ago, he did say that it's time for the Packers to go ahead and trade Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's asinine.
Of course, he said it with a little tongue in cheek.
Okay,
but
I'm saying this seriously.
But he did say it under the auspice of he is still an asset. He is a trade asset. You can get a lot for him. And I think that was the year after the season that Aaron Rodgers had not had a good season. So it looked at the time like Aaron Rodgers' skills were starting to diminish, and it's get what you can get for him now because he is going to continue to diminish. And it sounds like your reasonings are pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
But I feel like what you should do is have a conversation about the hate you receive from the fans who say how stupid you sound.
I think the difference being is that Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl and Cam Newton lost a Super Bowl and then has just been kind of here and there being good or bad in every other season since. Plus the oft injured, which Aaron Rodgers isn't as oft injured as Cam Newton.
If Cam Newton was more likable when things were not going well, do you think he would be virtually untouchable at Carolina?
Probably.
Okay.
I think you're absolutely true there. Yes. I think that's 100%. He would be unfallible to the Carolina Panther fan if he was a likable guy, but he hasn't shown to be one. But we're going to get your calls. We're going to get updates on your Twitter polls, your texts, and everything else and more next on the Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate. You can also vote on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover polls at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, and we'll get to those here in a second. But first, we were just talking some Carolina Panthers expectations for the 2019 season. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy wants to talk some Panthers. What's going on, Jimmy?
Oh, nothing much. How about y'all?
Doing well. Thank you very much.
All right. So, question. You were talking about the running back position, and that's been a sore spot ever since Jonathan Stewart left, in my opinion.
Okay.
So, of the two rookies, I don't know, Elijah Hood might not be a rookie, maybe a second-year player. Out of the two, Elijah Hood and Elijah Holyfield, which one of those running backs do you think will make the team and help out the most? And then the other question is, who's going to take Thomas Davis's spot? Because I think the linebacker position, running back position, are the two biggest keys to the success of the Panthers this year, in my opinion. And I'm going to pick Elijah Hood as making the team.
All right, that's fair. And I think either of them really have a good chance to make the team. But, you know, either way, I think to be honest, I still think they should try to make some kind of move to get, if Melvin Gordon's that unhappy out in LA, that's the kind of a guy that you could pair up with Christian McCaffrey and just be beastly on the offensive side of the ball. It's going to be tough to make that happen. Obviously, everything going on, you probably have to guarantee him some kind of contract, but all that. But if you do stick with him, I mean, I liked both. I thought Holyfield was a great back last year. A lot of fun to watch. He'll really probably make a push for that spot, and maybe both of them could kind of make the roster. Maybe one guy gets a special team spot and they kind of work them back and forth if they have to. You never know what happens with injuries in the league, and this especially in how big and strong and hard hitting it's getting every year, more and more so. So you could see these guys both kind of end up being involved in the running game. Obviously everything goes through Christian McCaffrey right now. He's your number one, but I wouldn't mind seeing them become a two-headed back again. If one of those guys can fill that role and you could see those two-headed backs like you used to see in Carolina that made them so great in an era where they didn't have a great quarterback, that could be very beneficial, because that could help Cam Newton not only be happy because maybe a less hits on him in the backfield, but also make him happy because he doesn't have to do as much to make the offense run if he's got two running backs that are just dominant. So I think it's important to see what they do end up doing in that position, because you do need a guy, I think, to fill that gap, to be the second back, to block for Cam Newton, and to, you know, spell Christian McCaffrey late in games.
Oh, well, certainly you could easily say that the Carolina Panthers have put way too much on Cam Newton since he arrived.
Oh, yeah.
He has taken over. He has effectively taken over as the number two quarterback, the number two running back on the team. And you're right. If you put him in a position where he doesn't have to do that, but he gets to be the number three, where he doesn't have to be the number two, he gets to be the number three. That is a deadly combination.
Big time.
You know, if you're running two back set, and all of a sudden it's going possible three different directions, not let alone how many receivers you've got in the formation, that is an extremely confusing setup for a defense.
Absolutely. And like we said, it could make Cam Newton happier, because it could probably lead to him taking less hits. And that would be a big beneficial thing for the Carolina Panthers, because him healthy is the only way you're going to be a playoff team. But the polls we have for the day are Carolina Panthers poll. What are your expectations for the Panthers? Still sitting mediocre to bad season at 37%, but maybe I'm starting to sway the people, because we're at 30% now for might sneak a wild card spot. So that's looking good. That's like a 9-10 win season to get a wild card spot, because you think Saints are going to be pretty good, probably win 12 games or so. So, you know, 9-10 wins, wild card, second spot, not so bad. That's decent expectations. I hope that one catches back up. We do have the other polls as well. We'll talk later about this. Clemson expectations. What's the worst case scenario for Clemson in 2019? Right now, 38% say lose to the Gamecocks. That is their worst case scenario. If they have one loss and it's to South Carolina, that is the worst case scenario they could have for 2019. I still think the worst case scenario possible is the losing one, making the playoff. I really don't see them losing even one, but if they lose one, they're still making the playoff, and I think that's probably as bad as it's going to get, and that possibly could be to the Gamecocks. So maybe that's their biggest worst case scenario. Gamecocks worst case scenario, still sitting below 500 as the answer. 54% of the vote, 27 now though for abysmal season, and Boom gets fired. That's grown over the last hour or so. All right, we want to talk about a new blog on ESPNUpstate.com. Diesel here asked the question, is Greenville a major league city? We'll tell you that and more next on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.